kick ass. Whoa, that's kick ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, top of the morning here, and welcome to the 602nd Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face and put a little spring into your step and allow me to give you a little kick in the body. That's right, a little kick in the rump, or a kick in the ass, as I like to call it. Now, we always start with a few fun facts. Did you realise that butterflies taste with their feet? That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? No way, Jose. And starfish, they don't have any brains at all. I think I've told you that one before, but I can't remember. I didn't know this one, though. Polar bears are left-handed. I mean, I've never seen a polar bear right, but apparently they're left-handed. Now, a duck quack. Now, that sound out. Say that with a silly accent. A duck quack. You know, like quack, quack. Doesn't echo, and nobody knows why it doesn't echo. An ostrich eye is bigger than its brain, and the longest recorded flight of a chicken is 13 seconds. Now, I think I told you that one. This one I didn't tell you before, though. Fingerprints of a koala bear are virtually indistinguishable from humans, so much so they could be confused at a crime scene. Can you imagine those polar bears getting away with it? I can't believe it. Anyway, and armadillos are the only animal besides humans that can get leprosy. I didn't know that one either. And so the last one is, a pregnant goldfish is called a twit. And apparently there's people in England and Ireland, my friend Michael told me, that call me a twit because of my accent and laugh and giggle. Anyway, enough of all that stuff. So, you know, here I am. You might be able to hear planes in the background. I am actually sitting in the Western Hotel by the Toronto airport, and I'm doing a gig here for 2.5 days, so today's Saturday, and I always, I come to Toronto a couple of times a year to work, and but it's interesting, you know, as you're sitting here watching all these flights take off, and of course, someone like myself who flies so much, I thought I'd give you one quick tip, and then I'll talk about the subject I really want to talk about. But, you know, those people that don't like flying or are afraid of flying, I want you to try something next time you're on a plane, is just look at the eyes and the reactions of the flight attendants. If there's a funny noise or you hear a bell or all the things that get you weirded out in the beginning when you don't fly a lot, just look over, see how the flight attendants are doing, and you'll see no reaction 99.9% of the time. And they're just calm, they're chatting, which means that everything that's going on is absolutely normal, all right? So there's a little tip for you people. I've helped a few people go flying, people who don't normally fly, don't like flying. And always remember this, you're not really afraid of flying, you're really afraid of crashing. So that's why I'm saying, if you really get weirded out, just start focusing on what's the reaction of the flight attendants and you'll be fine. Anyway, what I want to talk about though is this. I was on stage last night. And I often talk about, you know, especially when I'm helping people sort of recreate their financial path and create wealth. And one of the guys in the audience last night, you know, had it took him 6 years to get from first year he made, and this is additional income, so it was a part-time income, because typically people, when they're recreating, they have to get into a new vehicle, which means they keep their old job. But he made $5,000 the first year, $14,000 the second, $42,000 the third, and the next 3 years made $963,000. And then this year he'll make $500,000 in income. Well, you know, that's amazing coming from, you know, him and his wife's joint income of $120,000 working government jobs in Ottawa. So I love that. But one of the philosophies is I teach people, and, you know, you've got to find the right vehicle, of course. And that's why I say, if you ever want help with that, you can email me and I'll help you find that. But certainly, or Facebook me, but certainly the big thing is this whole idea about environment being stronger than willpower. I've said it all the time. And I often say, you know, what we end up doing typically is taking advice from broke, unhappy people and or family members. You know, we get around people and that energy is sapped, or we become, you know, mean, or we actually become much like them. And if you've got family like that, I know that I came from a very negative family. And so when I was around, and it wasn't that it was a negative family, that's probably the wrong way to say it, but it was a negative environment. The environment as a whole, I mean, I can't point at my family and say, oh, she's negative, she's that. But it was very, very negative. And so, and for years afterwards, you know, it'd be very easy when you're in that environment to become negative. So I thought maybe what I'd talk about is a couple of strategies that I certainly use when I go into negative environments, because there is two or three things you can do. And there's certainly the big one for most people. If you're around negative people, it is a scientific fact that over time, your environment will sculpt your perceptions, which sculpts the thinking you have in your head, which determine the results in your life. How you think is how you are. And every great, I mean, if you go way, 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 way back into the Bible, it talks about that. In the Bible, it talks about how we think creating our life. But then you go way back, you know, to the sort of the birth of the personal development movement, right? And you, or you read Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill was asked to interview 500 of the most wealthy people at the time, you know, and he went there and spent 20 years interviewing the most famous people and the wealthiest people. And what is it called? Think and Grow Rich was the book he wrote. Think and Grow Rich. And it's a timeless piece, and it's certainly the book that changed my thinking on myself and wealth. So what happens? You're around negative people. What do? Well, there's two things I want you to think about. One is to limit the amount of time you're with negative people. But if it's your family or your brother and sister, but you're around them and they, you know, they see the dark side of the world, then the most important thing is being aware of the trap. The trap is typically that if you've grown up in an environment like that, or you've been around people that are negative all the time, as soon as you get around them, you start to fall back in to that habit. It's a habit of being negative. You don't feel great, but you play, you know, you get involved in it, right? Whereas, you know, you could think about it slightly differently, right? Is that a keen awareness of your own energy, your own light, the way that you are, the way that you feel. So when you're in the trap, when you're in the energy, all right, then you stay bright, you stay light. You don't start to react to anything. You know, going in, let's say, for example, you've got a mom who really is negative and she gets on your nerves. Well, you know, going in, that's what she's like. So what do? You get in there and then you walk away angry, upset, or darker, or whatever. Or you get involved with it. You start yelling at each other. That doesn't help anyone. So you walk in knowing that person's that way and accepting they're that way. So the acceptance is that first step. And then without judgment, you just realize that you now have a choice. If you can get bright, if you can stay light, if you can stay positive, right? And instead of getting into the game, all right, you steer the game. You become the person that when they're around you now, they feel uplifted, as opposed to when you're around them, you're brought down. And everyone in your life is either going to raise you up, or they're going to bring you down, or they're going to be neutral. In other words, there's no feeling because you don't care at all. But if you care, there's one or two things going to happen. Raise up, or you're going to come down. The question is that you're doing that to everyone as well. And when we become, if you want to live a kick-ass life, you realize that you can walk into any situation, all right, and it will raise itself up because of your energy, because you don't fall into the traps, because that you just stay in that very, very, and it's not about pretending to be happy. That's got nothing to do with happiness here. This is just an awareness of where you're falling into, an awareness of what you're focused on. You know, and there's that wonderful saying, what I focus on expands, what I focus on expands. If you focus on crappy, shitty things, guess what? They're just going to get worse. They're going to get bigger in your mind, and they're going to show up more and more. You're going to notice them more, and you're going to get drawn to them more, right? You focus on positive things, though. So when you're around a negative person, the other thing I love to do is focus on the part beyond the negativity. What's the part beneath that? What's the part of them I can talk to that brings out the best in them? When are they the happiest? Like your mother, if she's a crabby old bugger, right? Then when is she? What makes her happy? What are the things that you can talk about that bring out the life in her, the light in her, right? And I'm not saying that because some people, they just like to be negative, right? Here's another thing I love to do is interrupt, pattern interrupt. Someone starts getting on a tangent, all right, of that. How do you interrupt them without them really either noticing it, or if they're going to gossip? I always say, whoa, can I interrupt you for a sec? Yeah. Listen, have you told the person that? Why don't you tell them that, right? And then, I mean, that's not something that's going to make them feel any better, by the way, in that moment. But certainly, I don't let anyone gossip around me. I don't enjoy gossip, and I'll interrupt it. But again, so negative people, it's a question of who are you going to be in that negativity? How are you going to choose and decide to be in the negativity? And I guarantee this, I say it all the time, is you can walk into the darkest of places and the lights will come on when you're bright. But it is a practice, because in the end, you know, you're going to become more like the energy. There's this wonderful saying again, I'm either going to affect people or I'm going to infect them. And we don't want to be, kick-ass life practitioners don't infect, they affect. They affect change. They affect the energy in a room. They affect the negativity in another person. But again, if you can't affect them, guess what? Don't go near them, because that shit's going to rub off on you. Anyway, listen, guys, thank you. 10-minute show. I got to get on stage. I haven't even had a shower yet. I got to run, but I will see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.